pregame. Then you got some really good. You get the Last Twins Hot Stove show at some point in there, but it doesn't say when. So that means we're getting close to baseball season if Hot Stove is getting ready to go into not Hot Stove anymore and just going into real baseball, which will be fun. I love being a Minnesota Twins affiliate. Can't wait to get up to Minnesota to see some games. Saturday, you're going to get Creighton, Villanova, Virginia, North Carolina, St. Mary's, Gonzaga. All very important games. And then Sunday, you're going to get Northern Iowa versus Belmont. That's at 11 o'clock pregame. Game to follow right after that. You can listen to J.W. Cox. Does a great job. He was a real fun listen. If you get a chance, you should listen to his play-by-play. It's really, really good. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway in West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213 in Des Moines, and 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Those DMOS urgent injury clinics are open at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. You can look up wait times online at DMOS. New to DMOS is Engineered Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in central Iowa. Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, thank you for being a part of the show. Okay, continuing on. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, so I get to yell at my Baltimore Ravens every once in a while. You know, it is Steen on sports. It's kind of a Steen thing. Today, their new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, who came from the Georgia Bulldogs, has been in the NFL, went to Georgia. Now he's back. You know, they talked to him. He's been there since he came in last Tuesday. So he's had a week. Maybe it was Wednesday. 6 days. He's been in Baltimore for 6 days. First question, how is your staff shaping up? He says, hey, it's still a work in progress, not really completely there yet. I'll keep you in the loop. The other thing he said is that he loves Lamar Jackson's skill set and all that. And one of the follow-up questions was, have you talked to Lamar Jackson yet? No. When they asked the Baltimore Ravens ownership group spokesperson, did Lamar Jackson have a say? Somewhat. Okay. He is one of the best 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks in the NFL. The only person in the NFL with his skill set, which is a middle linebacker who can throw and run. And you are trying to sign him to a long-term deal, but you don't want to pay him what you think he's going to ask for. I think that this is when you put all these pieces together, and I don't want to do this, but I want what's best for the Baltimore Ravens, but I also want what's best for Lamar Jackson, because I do believe truly that Lamar Jackson has been mishandled, his talent wasted in the years that they've had, because they're not willing to take a stab or go to the edge and look over to get themselves over the top like the teams that are the Kansas City Chiefs, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Buffalo Bills. If they treated football the same way that those teams did at this point in time, they may have a Super Bowl. Now he's 26. He's angry. He's getting ready to be in the best years of his life playing quarterback. And he has no weapons. And his offensive coordinator hasn't even talked to him yet. I've said all along, I don't know if it's going to be to... Here's what I think. If they exclusive franchise tag him, then they have to find a trading partner. And I think that trading partner is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. And I think both sides are probably going to be happy with what shakes out. And Baltimore will be still a playoff team, and Atlanta in 2 years can be really, really good because the NFC is really, really bad. The other side of that is they non-exclusive franchise tag game, and then I think the New York Jets give them 2 first-round draft picks and say, I'll take Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson is way better than Derek Carr, and Lamar Jackson is absolutely zero problems that Aaron Rodgers is. And then my Baltimore Ravens are not going to be a good football team. They can't win with Hundley at quarterback and no weapons. You can win football games. Before Lamar Jackson got hurt, and he got hurt because he has no offensive weapons, I think they were second or third in the standings of the AFC. And a inexcusable loss on their defense against Miami, or that had been one loss. Scott rubs that in all the time as he's sunning himself in Florida today. I mean, it's a bad situation for the Baltimore Ravens, because maybe Atlanta won't be as good, but their number one pick isn't going to be, unless it's I don't know who has a high enough pick to see if they can get into getting a new quarterback in the draft, or if that's what they want to do. Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't fit that system. Somebody who does fit that system would be a Trey Lance or a Jordan Love, or, you know, somebody like that, that is a little like, see, Hundley's a little bit like Lamar Jackson running, but zero like him in arm strength, consistency, and accuracy. Just little things, you know, nothing big. It's really funny. If you're a betting man today, which one of these would you put more money on? Aaron Rodgers will not go back to the Green Bay Packers, or Lamar Jackson will not be a Baltimore Raven. I don't know which one I'd put more money on, because I think they're both going to happen. I think everything that Aaron Rodgers has done is to get Green Bay to go, okay, we just got to cut ties here. Let's take the hit. We believe in Jordan Love. I think the players on offense anyway does. I think they get their defense better, but they're going to have money. It's a quicker rebuild than it is keeping him for two more years and paying him $100 million, that's for sure. I don't know what you do if you're Green Bay. I don't know what Green Bay Packers want, because I've heard both sides. It's mixed up. And this is the second time that they've had to do this. Brett Favre first, and now Aaron Rodgers. And that's one of those things. I think it has more to do with the history and the structure of the Green Bay Packers. It's not like any other football team in the NFL. It's not treated like any other football team in the NFL. It's not run like any other football team in the NFL. And at times it makes it really difficult. At times it makes it a little easier, but it's not that simple this time, because, in the past 2 years, some things that Aaron Rodgers seems to think is okay to talk about on open mic at any point in time where he's at, isn't in the best interest of the Green Bay Packers, if you ask me. I think he cares more about himself than he does the team, and that's just the way he is. And don't tell me that that's not true, because you don't go on the Pat McAfee show and say the things that you say because you love the Green Bay Packers or you love your teammates. Now, I'm imagining, because we don't get all of this, and ESPN doesn't do a lot of coverage of Green Bay. They do a lot of coverage of Aaron Rodgers, but not Green Bay. I don't know locally what's going on, but I would have a feeling that a lot of Green Bay Packer fans aren't very happy with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers isn't. You walk into Green Bay Stadium and you're sitting in that crowd, are any of those people like Aaron Rodgers? California cool, just surfing and chilling and da-da-da-da-da. No, I don't think so. That's not what they do. That's not who they are. I don't know if that's a fit. And I don't know what is a fit, because I think for the New York Jets, if you can get Lamar Jackson, I think that's a home run. I'm a Super Bowl contender, and I'm a Super Bowl contender right now. Even if Robert Saleh is not a good coach, I think I have a chance of making the playoffs. My only problem is I play in the AFC, and I have all these quarterbacks in the AFC. I really deep down, and they can say whatever they want to say today. And I agree with some of the things that are being said about Derek Carr. Now, I also believe the stuff I researched that said he's had 9 offensive coordinators and 6 coaches and his star receivers in jail and all these things. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he doesn't play well in cold weather. Well, guess what? No team that doesn't play in cold weather plays well in cold weather. It's not where they want to be. They play indoors. The St. Louis Rams, even though they're built to play outdoors in the cold, don't like playing in the cold. That's a misnomer. I don't know what you do. And if you're the New York Jets, man, you're putting a lot of money. And if there's one place in the world that won't put up with Aaron Rodgers, it's the New York media. That is worth more than going to the best movie that you've ever seen in your life is the first 3 weeks of him having to go and do interviews and live with New York reporters. That will sour quickly. Quickly. Pat McAfee loves having Aaron Rodgers on his show because Aaron Rodgers gets him numbers. Doesn't mean Pat McAfee likes Aaron Rodgers. He gets hits, and that's what matters. In this business, that matters. Me sitting here trying to be on my high horse to say we shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that, that's not solid gold for ratings. That's just an inner part of me that doesn't like some of the things that are going on. You're supposed to be provocative, and you're supposed to say things and not even worry if you have to back. I can't do that. But man, New York sports talk and New York media, you are in trouble if you act like Aaron Rodgers acts on a daily basis. That is not going to be a real good thing. Here's one of the problems that the NFL has right now, and it is the salary cap hits for wide receivers. Wide receivers used to be what running backs are now. You know, you didn't spend money on wide receivers because how much money do you really have to pay him to have 15 catches and block all day long? Well, now they're the prima donnas of the NFL. Tyreek Hill's cap hit is $31.4 million. DeAndre Hopkins, $30 million. Cooper Kupp, $28 million. Brandon Cooks, who hasn't barely played, is $26 million. DJ Moore, $25 million. Amari Cooper, $23 million. Chris Godwin, 23. Mike Evans, 23. Christian Kirk, 23. Keenan Allen, 21. Kenny Golladay, $21.4 million. That is the worst contract in football. And Stephon Diggs is at $20 million. You're going to have teams. A few of those guys are going to get cut. And a few of them, I would say quite a few of them are going to probably get moved. Because of that number, it is a crazy, crazy number. I don't know how you get around that. I really don't. This is just one more that came in on the Darius Miles Brandon Miller. It says Darius Miles texted Brandon Miller to bring gun. That was used to kill Jamea Jonae Harris. Police are testifying to. Man, that's some crazy stuff, folks. It is one of those. I mean, when I've sat here today to try to figure out what is the best way for some of these teams. And these salary cap hits, I mean, you can, if the Pittsburgh Steelers cut Mitchell Trubisky, they save $8 million. If the Colts cut Matt Ryan by the end of this week, they save $17 million. Marcus Mariota is $12 million. Ryan Tannehill, he's pretty much, he has no guaranteed money remaining on his contract. He's a movable piece. So if someone wants Ryan Tannehill to be their quarterback, I don't know who exactly that would be. That at least you can get a little bit of piece of that. I don't know. That's the tough thing with all this going on and probably the worst contract in football. And you knew it was, and Cleveland had no reason, no rhyme or reason in the world to pay what they did. Deshaun Watson's cap hit this year is $54.9 million of $110 million salary cap. Might be $120 now. That is redonkulous. I don't even know how to explain it. What they did to football and salary. And it's typical. This is what people, it's typical Cleveland Browns. That's what they did. They messed up the system. And just wanted to know that you have a great teammate. This is what A.J. Brown said to the Philadelphia Eagles. If you don't pay Jalen, pay this man, just ship me off wherever he is going to go. He said, Howie Rosen, get this done. This kid needs signed or you're not going to have a happy A.J. Brown. I don't know how you, as the Philadelphia Eagles, and if Daniel Jones is worth 40, then Jalen Hurts is worth no less than 41. It's incredible. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Zach Steenbach coming in, talking sports right after this.
Here's a look at traffic on 101-1800-THECHAMP.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in once again. Happy Tuesday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, Northern Iowa at Southern Illinois, 6:30 pregame. This segment is going to be brought to you by Heritage Building Maintenance, provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa and the Midwest. They provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, providing the peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Heritage Building Maintenance, we have Mr. Zach Steenbach. He is at Zach Steenbach on Twitter. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I'm looking at live lines for the Iowa State Texas game, and it's already down a point.
It was seven and a half. What's it now?
6.5.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. A little sidetracked, everybody.
Sidetracked bet. There you go. All right, let's talk about some of the things that happened over the weekend. How much of the Daytona 500 did you watch?
I actually watched more than I thought I would. I was flipping back and forth from the PGA event and then caught mostly probably the last 50 laps of the Daytona 500. It was a great race up until, the very end.
They got to figure
right.
something.
Right, and I don't like that the rule they have now. It's whoever was leading when the caution flag is drawn.
Hate it.
You know how are the driver's supposed to know that. You know, they're doing strategies for each turn, each straightaway. And they could be doing something totally different in one part than the other. And they might as well just let them race till, you know, they finish. If the crash is behind the leaders,
they shouldn't throw the yellow when you're coming to that
right,
last lap.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they can finish and, you know, slow down. I know it may be a safety issue, but Talladega is pretty big and they would not get to, you know, the crash site again, you know, for a while.
Oh my goodness. Around. You cannot do that. That is not Talladega. That's Daytona.
Or Daytona. I'm sorry. Daytona.
Wow. Talladega's later. Wow. That's something I do. That's something I would do. Not you.
I know.
I also don't like double car restarts with three laps to go. It's never worked. It's always a wreck. So why do you continue to keep doing it? I don't like any
right,
of that.
But I do love when they are in the last straightaway at the super speedways and everyone goes three wide and they're just ripping as hard as they can. You know, there's something special about that. And it's still on my bucket list. I know we talked about it last week, but I need to go to a race, whether it's Kansas City or, you know, down to Florida or somewhere in the South.
Kansas is a ton of fun. It really is. Actually, Vegas is a lot of fun, too.
I totally forgot Vegas is there, too. That's probably the easiest one.
That was the first two that your mom and I went to. We went to Vegas, and we went to Kansas a couple of times. Talladega would be fun, though. Daytona is, I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm more of a Talladega fan than I am a Daytona fan anyway, but
I'm right there with you.
But Daytona is the biggest race and NASCAR does the biggest race first, which I always thought was really funny too, but it's just the way it happens. John Rahm right now, when you watch him play golf, man, he's on a level that not a lot of people are at.
He's been playing incredible. And honestly, if you've listened to some of his recent interviews or his interviews in general, he's a great face for golf. Especially not being, you know, an American golfer too, it helps, you know, golf worldwide. Right. And he's so, you know, well-spoken and is literally addicted to the game of golf. And it's so cool to see. And you know, he's a big dude, but he's powerful, but you know, he is a shot sculptor and is, you know, dialed in on the greens. It's going to be a fun golf season for sure.
I agree. And you cannot say this enough. Tiger Woods played in a regulation tournament, played all four rounds, and you can tell that, I mean, he's had to change his swing. He can't push off on that foot. He can't do any of that. But he's changed.
He can barely walk down the fairway.
Yeah, he's changed all of that, and it is amazing what he's done.
It truly is, and I don't know if it's a pride thing if he would even do it, but the PGA should let him at least take a golf cart
at his.
I know, and it's a pride thing, right? Too, and but you know, it's his course, right? Let him do it at least there. But it was fun to watch him. It's just nice to see him relaxed and smiling. You know, he's past, you know, his competitive years. I'm not saying he couldn't, you know, win a tournament or something now. But he doesn't have the same demeanor anymore, right? He's enjoying himself. He's having fun with the other guys, you know. He's just happy to be out there playing golf at a high level still. It's just incredible. I'll keep going one more thing, just kind of rambling on about Tiger, but for the listeners, we were actually on the phone on Sunday morning, and Steve over here was telling me, you know, how good Tiger played and how great it was. I was like, you know, he's probably gassed. It's been a long 3 days, 4 days coming. I took him to shoot over par on the day, and that was an easy hit.
You won some money.
Right.
Here's the reason that everybody loves John Rahm and Rory and Justin and Jordan. John Rahm reminded everybody of this stat on Sunday. He said because John Rahm, I mean, him and Tiger are really close, and he really respects Tiger. He said if Tiger Woods had only played in 1999 and 2000, so 2 years and nothing else, he'd have 17 wins and 4 majors. That's better than the career of Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas, and we could go on from there of naming all the rest of the players for 2 years, and that's it.
That is the craziest statistic I've ever heard.
Yeah.
People forget how great he was, and I hate that I don't get to you know, live those days now. You got me my red polo when I was super little, you know, wore it on Sundays to church and everything.
You wore that polo the day it was Easter Sunday when he won the Masters. We were down with Uncle Reggie and Aunt Betty's house, and you were wearing red, my friend.
And you know, just what he did, you know, is incredible, and people don't, you know, we think about all the, you know, one-off things he's done through his career, but you know, that stretch, he was so young too, and just absolutely changed the game. And I wish I could be watching him now at 27 on TV on Sundays. And I remember, you know, when we were younger too, you always had golf on Sundays, and I absolutely hated it.
Yeah, you did.
But now I'm just obsessed
with it now. All the boys are, which is pretty cool. So it works. See, if you keep it on TV, it works subliminally. We're talking to Zach Steenblok. He is at Zach Steenblok on Twitter. Okay, I'm going to give you a magic wand. Tell me how you fix the NBA All-Star game, or does it need fixed?
I mean, it doesn't need to be fixed. I don't think it's an NBA All-Star game. People want it to be a high-level competition. It's never going to be. They're just having fun. You know, the All-Star game weekend, I think, is okay. It gets old. They probably need to revamp it somehow, but you're never going to get a competitive game out of these guys.
No.
There's no reason to.
There's too much money at stake.
They make way too money. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, want championships, and it's a cutthroat league. You know, these are the cream of the crop, best basketball players. The rosters aren't very big. And, you know, they don't want to go out there and hurt themselves. I don't know if LeBron actually got hurt, but, you know, he left the game, whether or not he was actually hurt or, you know, didn't want to get hurt. You never know.
And I think LeBron, to a certain extent, maybe just has a little bit of it left in him. But the thing that set some of the All-Star games apart earlier was Magic Johnson never wanted to lose. Larry Bird never wanted to lose. Michael Jordan didn't want to lose at anything. So they may not have played very hard for those first three quarters, but up until probably the last two or three years, the fourth quarter was an actual basketball game. And this year it was not even close. I mean, it was the least amount of things. So I think I don't think it's a big problem either. Here's the one I want to get your take on. How do you fix this problem? And we're going to use my nephew, Kale. How many times have we gone to Minnesota to watch a T-Wolves game when the Golden State Warriors are there and we never get to see Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, or Draymond Green? At least, four.
Right. Luckily, I had COVID that last time we went, so I didn't get miss out on the G League game. But I remember too, like Carl Anthony Towns didn't play, and you know, all the good T-Wolves guys weren't playing, and we're like, why are the tickets so cheap? And
that's why.
You play for the fans, right? You would be nothing without the fans if no one's watching you. And I think they owe it to the people that they're playing, for and to entertain, to play in the games that. They buy tickets too.
Right.
It's brutal. And Anthony Edwards said it great. You know, he loves basketball. He wants people to come out. And I think it's going to be more common now or something. You see little kids holding up signs like, we drove 2,000 miles
exactly.
And emptied our bank account to come to this game, whether or not that's true or not. But
and you probably shouldn't be doing that anyway.
That's got to suck. Right. Yeah. And it's tough. But. I don't like it at all, if you can't tell. Just frustrating.
I know. It is. I mean, it makes it hard. It makes it hard to go see a game. And I'm going to tell you that, we go down and see the Wolves games down at Wells Fargo. And there's a lot of good players. And it's fun. And I get to drink the same beer. And it's no different than the times we've gone and spent a lot more money to go up to Minneapolis and stay in a hotel and go watch a game. So, I mean, it's
and watch
hard.
A G League game.
Exactly. It's hard for me to correct that. Now you made me lose my train of thought of what I was going to ask you. What was I? Well, here's one. Eric Bieniemy happened to leave the Kansas City Chiefs to go to the Washington Commanders. I actually think that it's going to help him because the Commanders are going to get a different ownership group. I'm assuming that the NFL is going to say, hey, we have Jeff Bezos money. Let him buy this team. It helps the NFL. Maybe he has to sell off a few things. But right. You think Eric Bieniemy did the right thing? Or should he just have kind of hung out and just said, hey, I'm winning Super Bowls and I'm getting paid a lot of money. I'm not getting paid that much more to go there.
Right. Yeah, I think he did. You know, it's always good to change. And it's a kind of thing in the NFL. You cycle through coaches so much. He could be on the Chiefs again, you know, in a couple of years, right, if things don't go well. But he gets an elevated title. I mean, I don't really know what that means exactly. You know, assistant head coach and OC. But I think he does have something to, maybe not to prove to other teams to hire him, but just to prove to the fan bases and, you know, all the critics out there. You know, is it Patrick Mahomes? Is it Bieniemy? Is it Andy Reid?
It's
you know,
Andy Reid.
Who's the guy, you know, making everything work? And the Chiefs are like, yeah, we're the safest person here. You know, we'll let him go. And, you know, what are they going to do? They can't fire Andy Reid, nope. Right? They're not going to elevate him to head coach.
They're going to move in Matt Nagy, and everything's going to be back the way it was before Eric Bieniemy was
right.
even there.
And,
so,
you know, something's afoot, right? The people that get hired are absolutely terrible. Like the Broncos coach, I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, Nathaniel Hackett. That's
right.
Bad.
Like why he wouldn't have, you know, Bieniemy could have, you know, got that job, but you know, there's something going on that the public doesn't know. And we talked about that last week a little bit.
You have to remember that 99% of the ownership in the NFL is white rich people. So
right. And I don't know if it's something to do with that or if it's just something, you know, that teams don't like what they're hearing or if they just don't trust him. It's like, we don't want to spend a bunch of money on someone who we don't know if he's the, you know, the ace in the hole, right, on the Chiefs. But I'm also not saying that that's the right thing to do because teams hire horrible coaches. So it's just a big circle.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with you, and there's no right or wrong. I mean, the NFL, unless you have good ownership, a good general manager, and a good coach, they're just going to keep recycling people. And I think the rest of the NFL is fine with that because they're like, they're never going to be good, and we're always going to be good, so we're on the right side of it. I had to get your comment on this, Dave, because I've talked about it a couple of times. So Brandon Miller, he is an All-American candidate for Alabama. An Alabama person, Darius Miles, shot a gal a couple of weeks ago. He texted Brandon Miller to bring him the gun, and he did. It's kind of a breaking news story that's out there. What should Alabama basketball do?
This is tough, right, on a couple levels. You know, if that text message does exist,
you better show it. It better be out there.
He's pretty screwed. Yeah. It's also like, what are you doing? You know, you guys are two basketball players.
You're all American.
A lot going for you. And you do something like this. I think Alabama, their hands are kind of tied. You know, it's, you know, innocent until proven guilty, right? And,
yep.
You know, did he do it? Did he not do it? But then, you know, colleges have ethic boards, right?
Coach Nate Oates shouldn't have said, hey, wrong place, wrong time. Not a good statement from your coach.
Nate Oates wants to win a championship. He
does.
Care.
Hey, thanks for jumping on today, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you later. Zach Steenblatt. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Be right back.
101.3 FM Rude in Des Moines. You're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back. Last segment on this Tuesday. What a crazy fast day. I want to thank Zach Steenblatt for coming in today. Got a couple more coming in tomorrow. Just need to make sure I finish telling them a time for tomorrow. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ or at Steen on Sports. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Tomorrow night, Northern Iowa travels to Southern Illinois. Big game. Need a win. see what happens if they can get that win tomorrow. This last segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both clients and candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or more challenging. Currently, over 500 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking, keeping both the staff and the candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Thank you to Palmer Group, Heritage Building Maintenance, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls for being a part of the program. I appreciate them a ton. I can't do this without them, and I enjoy doing this, and I enjoy doing it with them in tow. So it's special, and I can't tell you how much that it means that people want to be a part. The LIV Golf Tournament, you know, the players today found out, in the LIV players, that they do get to play in the British Open. I do believe they'll get to play in the PGA. You won't get, not the PGA, the Masters. You can't play in the Open, the U.S. Open. You can't play in the PGA. And that's not gonna fly, but it's gonna be interesting. I was talking to Zach a little bit about Eric Bieniemy, and here's a couple of former players, and it's really funny how these come out. LeSean McCoy, I wish him well, but Washington, don't let the Chiefs' success or coaching titles fool you. The traits or skills you need to be a good coordinator, I haven't seen or witnessed it. Shady McCoy has some issues with Eric Bieniemy, because here's Jamal Charles. He goes, I have to agree with you, Shady. Bieniemy coached me for 4 years. I learned so many things with EB, and I still keep in contact with him. A great husband, a great father. He deserves to be a head coach. If I had to believe one of those two stories, I think I would believe Jamal Charles before I believe LeSean McCoy. His middle name is Shady, by the way. Just kidding. It is, but not for that reason. I've heard a lot of this today when it comes down to quarterbacks as well. Teddy Bruschi, who I really like listening to, believe if the Jets want to win a championship, they should go after Aaron Rodgers and not Derek Carr. I think that I agree with that sentiment. And the key there is championships. If you don't want to be what you've been in the last 3 years, I think Derek Carr can take you to a certain step. And then coaching, player development, and who you have on your roster is going to make it to that next thing. Aaron Rodgers walks into the New York Jets, except for I'm telling you, he's not going to dig the New York media, and that's not going to go well. But he walks in and he makes your team better. He makes your team a Super Bowl contender. Derek Carr comes in and makes your team better than your team was last year, gives you stability, and then you are going to have to scheme and coach your way to get to where you want to go. Aaron Rodgers does that for you. Lamar Jackson would do that even more for you. I just don't know what they want to do. So I think that is I think that's one of the things that's going to matter. The teams with the highest attendance percentages, and all these teams were over 100% of what they were last year. And those teams are the San Francisco 49ers are number one. They had a 4% increase in attendance. The Indianapolis Colts, even as bad as they were last year, had a 4% increase in attendance. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a 3%. The Miami Dolphins had a 2%. The LA Rams had a 1% and had a horrible year. The Cincinnati Bengals were 1% better. The Kansas City Chiefs were 1% better. The Minnesota Vikings were 0.3% better. The Cardinals were 0.3% better. And the Seattle Seahawks were 0.1% better. everybody else in the NFL was below what they were the year before. Seems crazy. The NFL is so popular, and here's the thing. The NFL, unlike the NBA, you watch an NFL game, you're watching everybody. I mean, you have 16 games to prove, 17 games, to prove what you can do. So, but watching the NFL on a couple of screens and a couple of games and having the betting channel up and doing all that means more. Remember that. Means more than the ticket sales that they get for people that come into the stadium to the NFL. The betting aspect of the NFL is incredible. The fantasy football money made is incredible. And TV deals are incredible. And I agree with this too. The cap in the NFL is complete and just a way to keep fans dumb and thinking that their team is doing everything they can do to win when they're really just worrying about their bottom line year over year. And it's kick the cap can season in the NFL with the cap always going up from year to year. It always makes sense to move cap charges into the future. So they can pay people. It just, do they want to pay people? In the last, and I like this grouping. It's fielding the 68. I think they do a really good job in that for the NCAA tournament. I'm looking here. They have Kansas, Purdue, Houston, and Alabama as one seeds. I'm trying to see where Drake is a 12 seed. Iowa is a 7 seed. Iowa State is a 3 seed. With some tough games coming up. Iowa's schedule is tough. Iowa State's schedule is tough. I mean, I could see both of them going 4-0. I could see both of them going 0-4, and I think they'll probably each go 2-2. And then the chips fly where they may. I don't know. I don't know where it all fits in sometimes, and it's so difficult to see how it works. The other thing that's going on, we talked about the world of golf a little bit, and the high-tech golf league with Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy that they are partnered in is gaining people. It's going to be pretty exciting to see how all this is going to work out. It is a golf is changed so much in the last 5 years. I know how much it's changed for me. It was people are going golfing to, I want to go golfing all the time. I don't have time to go golfing all the time. I need to get my body to a point where I can golf all the time. It's just at 57 years old, I need to work on instead of worrying about other things, I need to work on my core so I can play golf more. Golf is taking over a lot, and you can tell by the number of golf courses that are being built. Another thing that's being built in Des Moines, they're building an $18 million recreation center on the north side of town. The center will house the first city-owned indoor pool, as well as a gymnasium, fitness space, community room, and a track. I think it's going where the old Dowling High School used to be. And it was a basketball court that a whole bunch of people went and played rec basketball at. They're $2.5 million away from having the full allotment of $18 million, and you're hoping that $18 million is prorated for what costs are nowadays. That's always a big thing with these projects anymore, is just the cost of doing things. LSU's top wide receiver Malik Nabers was arrested for illegally carrying a weapon. LSU is still gathering information on the incident per spokesman. I'm assuming in these team meetings that they have to say, having access to a gun or carrying a gun or doing any of those things are not allowed. But they're still happening. We got Iowa women playing Maryland tonight. It is number 6 against number 7. That's a tough game. You have Iowa State going into Texas. That's a tough game. Tyrese Hunter, we're going to see what happens tonight. You're listening to Scene on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. See you.